have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Grace and peace be unto you all. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moment. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Happy New Year to everyone. Budgeting, especially at the beginning of the year, is an important aspect of managing your finances. Yet most people fail to budget. We have all heard the saying that a failure to plan is a plan to fail. In Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 30, Jesus clearly indicates that if we do not plan ahead, we are foolish. Your budget is a critical tool in helping you to stop the madness of overspending and get on track to achieve your financial goals. Some of us are overwhelmed at the prospect of budgeting, but you should not be. The process will require some work on your part, but with diligence, the rewards will be recognized. The first step in developing a budget is simply to make a list of your short-term and long-term goals. Perhaps you want to begin a new business, purchase a home, send your child to college, or even save for retirement. I have a good friend who managed to save enough money to retire at the age of 40. She did not have a substantial salary prior to retirement, but she always maintained a budget that she was committed to staying faithful to. It was not uncommon to hear her say that she wasn't going to purchase something because it wasn't in her budget. Number two, make a list of all monthly income resources. Number three, monitor your spending over a 2 to 3 month period to determine how you are spending your money today. Number four, maintain a detailed record of your spending activity so that you have a good understanding of your necessary expenses as well as your unplanned or discretionary expenses. And finally, but most importantly, pray to the Lord asking for his guidance in developing a budget, which allows you to accomplish your goals and better positions you for the plan that he has for you. Specifically, pray for guidance on handling existing debt and assessment of the true spending needs versus spending that goes beyond what is truly necessary. Remember, God has a plan for each of us. When our actions are out of alignment with his will, our ability to achieve our destiny is delayed. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 in the Amplified Bible tells us, roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. Allow the Lord to help you develop a budget. It is an important step in achieving the plans that God has for you. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Jr.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor with this week's Gospel News. Bishop S.Y. Younger, he is founder of 5 flourishing organizations, 4 of which were founded within the last 7 years. He founded Shekinah Outreach Ministries of Evangelism, Incorporated, in fall of 2003. He matriculated to Liberty University, studying English with aspirations of becoming a high school teacher. However, he relinquished his academic and professional dreams to embrace his calling to be pastor. In 2005, he started the Ramp Church International, a thriving multicultural ministry in Lynchburg, Virginia. The Ramp congregation has outgrown 7 buildings in 7 years and has rapidly become one of the fastest growing churches in Central Virginia. Founded in 2010, he is the executive director of One Voice, a fellowship uniting leaders across all denominational and religious lines for the advancement of local community and foreign affairs. He founded One Way Churches International in 2011. His ministry has been solicited nationally and internationally. Bishop Younger created Ramp Records, where he releases music and brings forth artists from the Ramp Church and has been featured on their projects. Their most recent project, Rampology Volume 1, The Sounds of the Ramp, was released in July of 2022. The debut single, The Storm is Passing Over, went viral viral on social media and garnered him a Stellar Award nomination. The national celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King. Does the younger generation really know and embrace who he was? Martin Luther King Jr. was a Baptist minister and civil rights activist who had a seismic impact on race relations in the United States beginning in the mid-1950s. King headed the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the SCLC. Through his activism and inspirational speeches, he played a pivotal role in ending legal segregation of African American citizens in the United States, as well as the creation of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965. King won the Nobel Prize in 1964, among several other honors. He continues to be remembered as one of the most influential and inspirational African-American leaders in our history. Born Michael King Jr. on January 15, 1929, he was the middle child of Michael King Sr. and Alberta Williams King. The King and Williams families had roots in Georgia. Martin Jr.'s grandfather, A.D. Williams, was a rural minister for years and then moved to Atlanta in 1893. He took over a small, struggling Ebenezer Baptist church with around 13 members and turned it into a forceful congregation. Martin Sr. came from a family of sharecroppers in a poor farming community. He married Alberta in 1926. The newlyweds moved to A.D.'s home in Atlanta. He became a successful minister and adopted the name Martin Luther King Sr. in honor of the German Protestant religious leader Martin Luther. In due time, Michael Jr. would follow in his father's footsteps and adopt the name himself. Growing up in Atlanta, King attended Booker T. Washington High School. He skipped both the 9th and 11th grades and entered Morehouse College at the age of 15 in 1944. King took a Bible class and began to envision a career in ministry. In 1948, King earned a sociology degree from Morehouse College and attended the Liberal Crozier Theological Seminary in Chester, Pennsylvania, and was the valedictorian of his class in 1951. He also earned a fellowship for graduate study. In 1954, while still working on his dissertation, King became pastor of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church of Montgomery, Alabama. He completed his PhD and earned his degree in 1955. King was only 25 years old. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Songs. Number 10, Reminder, J.J. Harrison. 9, All Things, Kirk Franklin. 8, Trusting God, James Fortin. 7, The Promise, Mississippi Mass Choir. 6, Tap Into It, Renee Spearman and Kim Burrell. 5, I Will Wait, Ray Barbano. 4, Anthony Brown and Group Therapy with Speak Your Name. 3, Marvin Sapp, You Kept Me. 2, No Stressin', Damon Little. And our number one song comes from Ty Tribbett, Only One Night Though. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
Amen. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Hallelujah. Who is with us this evening?
Good evening. Yes, ma'am, I am here.
Beautiful. Pastor Pam, are you with us, Pastor T? Okay. Elder Pat, are you with us? All righty then. That's all right. I'm going to ask you, Elder Henderson, if you would pray us in, and then I will get the scripture ready, and then I will give us our topic. It's just you and me.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise you for this time. We thank you for this platform, Father God. We thank you for all those that make this platform available, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for our discussion tonight. Lord, we pray that something will be said, oh God, that will encourage, uplift, build up in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise and give you glory for all that you've done, doing, and shall do. Thank you for this new year, and thank you for higher heights and deeper depths in you. Have your way tonight. Let your power prevail and get your glory. And we thank you for it all. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Henderson, for that awesome, awesome praying us in. I want to wish you a happy new year. I thank you for joining us. We're going to be doing this. Look. You know, Bishop may pop in if he's available. I'm not sure. But for this evening, let me grab the scripture. All right. A very familiar passage for most people. Mark 4:35-41. I'm going to read the New International Version. And our topic is going to be, we're going to talk about the weather, i.e. the storms of life. And it reads as thus. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side," leaving the crowd behind. They took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall or storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped or sunk, so to speak. Jesus was very stern. He was sleeping. He had a cushion, it says. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" The last verse again, they woke him up and they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" That is, I'm right for your hearing, 4:35-31. And our topic for this evening is going to be the weather. As we look at the weather and see the different patterns that go on, we know that things are changing in our environment, changing greatly. And the weather that's being reported these days is somewhat concerning, because you hear the different adjectives that a lot of these weather reporters are using now. You know, it's superstorm. We've had tornadoes, tsunamis, avalanches. We've had 52 or 55 inches of snow out in Colorado. So things have gone from a minor scale or a minor storm, so to speak, to be what they call epic or super storms. And I want us to think about that and also think about how we deal with the weather. What type of superstorm, so to speak, have you survived in the natural and then in the spiritual? Because if you think about it, yes, our life is filled with some roses, but there are also tests and trials that the word that we shall have. Our ability, I believe, as humans, yes, we can adapt, but I also feel like sometimes when you're going through the storms of life, faith, number one, is tested. And if you're not a strong person of faith, then you can be, you know, tossed to either side. And I wanted to look at that and think about it and understand that no matter what the storm is, no matter what the storm is in our lives, that God is above that storm. He has the ability to shut it down at a moment's notice. He has the ability, even if he doesn't remove the storm from your life, I'm a witness, he will carry you through the storm. It may not always feel good, may always sound good, may always look good, but we have the assurance that our Father God says in his word, he will never leave us nor forsake us. So that means in that storm, thank you, Jesus, he has the ability to make provisions so that we can survive the storm, quote unquote, weather the storm. So I want your take on what do you think about the weather changes, Pastor Henderson?
Yes, I tell you, the weather is so unpredictable, and so much is happening so fast in all parts around the world. And
yes,
you know, it used to be a time when you knew when it was spring or when it was summer. You anticipated the weather being a certain heat or a certain coolness, but now it's like you can't really predict, you know, the weather anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, really, it's really something. But as I think about this, I was thinking about how the word lets us know that the closer it comes to the coming of the Lord, how the seasons would change. And then I began to think mm-hmm. about the scripture that says that even the earth groans and moans for the coming of their redemption, of the coming yes. of the Lord, yes. and to go back to yes. its original state. And so when I think about that, I just think about the changes that's taking place. And all of these are actually signs to let us know that Jesus is coming. And when you talked about the storms, yes. you know, the storms of life, you know, we're built for the storm. You know, as believers, we're built to deal with the storms of life, and I thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Beautifully said. You know, and I find that even in watching the weather, sometimes you have to be very choosy, and I know it's not the proper adjective or proper phrase, but, you know, because as the weather changes and also as they predict the weather, there have been instances where they've been totally off kilter. You know, oh, you're going to get a blizzard in Connecticut. Oh, you know, make sure you stock up. You got gas and charge up everything. And then, you know, you go to bed and maybe lightly snowing. You wake up in the morning and it's like there's nothing on the ground. So I think sometimes we have to make sure that we're guarding not only our psyche, but we're guarding our faith walk, realizing that the weatherman, yes, he's just recording what he may have seen or the patterns that may take place. But we still have to understand that our God orchestrates every raindrop, every snow, every tornado, all yes. of those things. He controls. He has the say so.
Yes.
And I want to put myself, you know, sometimes you get so, I would say wrapped up. Well, yeah, I would say wrapped up. Okay. You get so wrapped up in watching, you know, the news and catching the weather, and then you start to plot and plan and things of that nature. I've also found that when we're going through storms in accordance with, you know, storms of life, it's very, how can I say? It's very prudential, meaning it's very important that we understand, even though these storms come, number one, it's not unto death, because the Lord is not after, you know, our life. He wants us to have life and life more abundantly. It also reminds mm-hmm. us that what you cannot see, quote unquote, or some people say, trace the Lord, because we are his children, because we are adopted, we have to understand that he will put us through the paces sometimes to see,
mm-hmm.
can you weather this storm? How are you weathering this storm? And I found that even in watching other people, like, you know, especially with my parents and whatnot, I used to be so bedazzled, so to speak, because I'm a baby of four, but I could also see how my parents always made sure that we were secure. You know, if there was something coming, for example, we had, I want to say Hurricane Gloria, and I'm probably dating myself now, but my mom's and dad's house was a split-level ranch house, so what my parents did, they got, which I thought was really the coolest thing, they got these spools of thread to put in the doors in each of our bedrooms in the rooms that were upstairs, because as the storm was coming, the hurricane, the weather people were telling people, okay, you can open your windows just a bit so that you can have the air flow through so that you're not, you know, implode or explode your house. And I was like, wait a minute, how do they know all this stuff? How do they learn this? And speaking to my father, I started to understand that the storm that he went through when he was younger, and then when he was even in the Marines, he would say, you know, I wrote the book on these things, Lord. And I was like, what does that mean? And he would say, because I've experienced this, boy, I can guide you and your mother and your brother and sister through these things. He said, you know, life has experience that we don't always want or expect, but they are teachers, mm-hmm. and they do moments so that you can help someone else. What do you think about that? Do you feel the same way in that light, Henderson?
I do. I do. And I think when unexpected storms come, they sometimes in the natural, it can throw you off because you're not prepared. You know, you're not prepared. But what helps you to navigate through the storm is remembering who you are and remembering that, you know, that with the Lord, you can make it through the storm. And our pastor recently, he preached a message that you will survive the storm. And I think it's important to always know and have that in your mindset that no matter what, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it through this. You don't know when the storm is going to come, but because you have a knowing of your God and you have a knowing that he's with you, that no matter when it shows up or how it shows up, that if the Lord is on ship with you, as the Lord Jesus was on the ship with the disciples, on the boat with them, he wasn't concerned. He went to sleep. And he was, you know, depending on them to do what was necessary because he was there. And I think if we just remember that the Lord is there and we can make it, we can navigate through those storms. And then as you were saying is that to be able to take away from the storm the lesson. What did I learn from this? What did I get? Because even in every storm, there are good things that happens in a storm, you know. You know, it brings new surface to the earth, you know. It cleanses the earth. There's some good things that come out of storms, even though there are a lot of damages that come out of it. And I think that sometimes we need to focus on the lessons and take away the positive from the storm. Nobody wants to be in a storm, especially if you're unprepared. Yeah. Nobody likes the damage and the rubbish of the storms. But in the end, when you survive it, you look and say, wow, I made it. And it shows you that there was some growth there, there was some development that you didn't break. You know, when you come out of a storm, I remember there was on the news one time, there was a disaster that happened. It was a storm, and everything was torn up and broken up. But this one baby was still in her blanket and was in a tree, in between the fork and a tree. And it was, you remember that? And that was so amazing. And, you know, yes. And in spite of, you know, so all of that storm, the testimony was in that God is still a keeper, you know, that God is still a keeper in the storm. And so if we can look at our storms and come out with a lesson that glorify God, then it makes it worth it. It really does.
Amen. You know, and it's profound that you put it in such a light that, because remember when I remember that news clip. But I was just dazzled by the brightness of the sky after the storm we had the other night. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday night. My poor air conditioner, the rain just pelted my air conditioner so bad that the stupid air conditioner fell out the window. I'm like, wait a minute. This is not supposed to happen. This is not, you know, TV. But the next day when Jordan and I went out to a doctor's appointment, I couldn't help but smile and turn towards the sun. The sky was perfectly blue, and the sun was so warm and welcoming. The temperature here, which is not normal, it's like, I think, 45 or 46 degrees here in Connecticut. It's January.
Yeah.
Hello. And I thank God because when we went outside, you could just feel the difference. You could feel, like, the newness, even though, unfortunately, there were some, you know, people that didn't have damages, no losses of life, thank God, but still, to understand that, in that whole time when the, you know, the air conditioner, it sounded like somebody was typing. Actually, I had to get up and come out of my bedroom so I could get a little bit of rest. And I finally said, I said, this is really funny. I said, but this rain is not playing. And they had warnings that were going off, which I thought was kind of weird. I never heard the sirens before, but they had predicted or they had seen, someone had seen, you know, a tornado forming and whatnot. But I want to go back and circle what you said and put a pushpin in it. Thinking about these storms, like you said, God is a keeper. God is a keeper.
Yes.
How often is it that that little baby was in a tree? Unscathed.
Yes.
They don't know anything that happened, they know that the baby was there, the baby was okay, but they're like, what? Amidst all the destruction, all the wars, and the houses being, you know, devil, God had that remnant in that baby. And who knows what that baby's purpose is. Look at God.
That's
God's going to work with that baby, that family, in the name of Jesus. And it's amazing because he is so, I don't just want to say in love, because I think sometimes people kind of poo-poo love, but the Lord is so in love with us and so concerned about it. The fact that he would speak to the storm and tell that storm, be quiet, stop, be still. And it immediately responds. That is awesome superpower of our God. And for him to be able to bring that calmness suddenly, I'm grateful, because as we mature, you know, and go through life, and sometimes, you know, some of the things we go through now, hindsight is 20/20 vision, you know, now you can say, oh, yeah, you know, I weathered this storm. But when you're going through it, for example, when I went through a divorce, first of all, I had no idea that even though you're going through a divorce, you know, your emotions are off kilter, if I can say, because you really want, not really you. I want the marriage to be resolved. I want the marriage to go on, but my husband did not. So through that, and I didn't realize all of the emotions that flood you because you're concerned about, you know, how am I going to provide for the children? Am I going to, you know, explain this to the church? How am I going to explain it to my parents? And the way that that storm just encased me, I had to take the time to reach out to some of the elders and say, you know, I really can't get through 10 or 15 minutes without crying. And I'm not sure why, because I want what's best, but I also understand that, you know, if you're not, if I'm not watching, guess what? I'm not going to stay there, definitely, you know. And on a spiritual level, it's into something where it just ministered to me in small time frames. That came up, some people I didn't even know, and I was working at Yale Haven Hospital then, didn't even know, and I had some financial stuff going on. And I don't know to this day where this woman went. I'm on the telephone calling my parents on the payphone, like in the lobby, talking, and I'm crying, and, you know, oh, I can't believe I'm going through this, or blah, 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 you know, what am I supposed to do? And my mom and dad are like, calm down. Finish your day at work, and we'll handle it. You know, we'll all talk about it tonight. A woman comes up to me and hands me an envelope, and I'm like, okay, why? She's like, I know you don't know me, but the Lord told me to give you this. And Henderson, as my witness, the lady had the exact amount of money in cash that I needed to pay my rent. And I was just
I was like,
wait a minute, Lord. You know, we had conversations, you know, and I'm an avid writer. I wrote some petitions. And to this day, I don't know who the woman was. I tried to go back and find her. Never found her. But I said, you know what? In that moment where, you know, things were falling apart and I was trying to understand, you know, you got to put your big girl pants on. You got to make sure you have what you need. You know, you take care of the, make sure you have a budget, take care of your bills first. Lord, to that woman and had her come to me and like, what? He thinks that much of restoring us. He thinks that much of keeping us, which I think is very important, because I know some saints that I've run into, different ones, you know, some of them feel like God is angry with them. I'm like, wait a minute. If you think God is angry with you, then why would you serve an angry God? And then don't get me wrong, there are certain justifications where the Lord says, you know, I need to correct you or things of that nature. But the ultimate emotion that the Lord has for us is love.
That's right.
Even though we may not feel like we're worthy of love, even though we may not feel like, you know, we're the, what do you call it, the, best looking person or whatever, but I that no matter what the storm has been, his ability to speak to that storm, even if it's a storm that lasts a while, his ability to just speak peace, and it's instantaneous and it trickles down, because when you're at peace, when you're together, and when you have things, you know, you feel like they're calm in your world, that's when you can make correct decisions, wise decisions. Whereas if you feel like there's a tornado on your left, or a blizzard on the right, there's a tsunami in front of you, and oh my goodness, I don't even have time to look back. I thank God for being able to understand. In the storms, he's still speaking. In the storms, he's still developing. In the storms, he's still giving us hope. And going back to that scripture, you know, I love it, love it. So Jeremiah 29:11, he knows exactly the plans that he has for each of us to prosper.
Yes.
To bring us to an expected, that end is an end of victory. That expected end is an end of being delivered from whatever is holding us, whatever is keeping us from our relationship with the Lord, because all he wants is a relationship with us. And for us to understand that no matter what we've been through, no matter what thing we feel like we may have done, or we have shortcomings, he is not a respecter of persons. He loves each and every one of us so much that he'll speak to your storm, my storm, everybody's storm at the same time, simultaneously. He is that awesome and that great. Now, I don't like the word super anymore, because I used to be able to say, you know, oh, well, the Lord, but now, if you think about it, the vocabulary has changed, because over the years, you know, they named the hurricanes, and it was hurricane this, hurricane that. Now, all of a sudden, and I think it's also, again, a political, well, not a political, but a ploy, a marketing ploy, you know, we pump them up, and tell them, it's a super snowstorm. Okay, but guess what? My God is above that super.
Right.
No matter what we say, my God is above that super. And we allow him to handle it. To handle it. Who what better hands could you put it in?
That's right.
What better hands could you
put
it in?
That's right.
Yeah. And
you know. And as you were talking, I was just thinking that when you were saying about how they pump it up, and I was just telling someone, I said, you know, when you listen to the news people, you know, the news hosts, you know, how they make the storm and the weather conditions sound so devastating, you know, and everyone gets panicky, and they go into the stores, and they start buying, you know, all the foods off the shelf, and, you know, and it hasn't even really been really on the radar yet, but this is just from a distance in the perspective that they see it, that the storm is coming. And so our perspective in the storm is so important, because if you allow what they're saying on the news to get you aroused, you will be in a panic and a frenzy. And, you know, and you'll be in the storm. But you know what? God has never really let me be that way, and I thank God for that, for having the right perspective, because as far as going into the stores and just buying up, I don't think I've ever done that. I always just believe that whatever I have in my house is going to be there, and God's going to supply my need, and whatever I have, we're going to have enough. But I never ran to the stores to buy up. But just the other day, we went in the store, and I guess everyone thinking it was going to be really, really cold, and they said we're going to get some snow, and the lines was all the way back to the meat, which is in the back of the store. And I'm thinking, like, oh, my goodness. It was hardly any bread on the shelf. And I'm thinking, like, I said, they must have said something on the news. There's supposed to be a snow or something for all these people to be in the store this time of day, you know. But I thank God that, you know, as believers, God gives us the right perspective to have, to put our trust in him. And the Bible says, you know, they that put their trust in the Lord should not be made ashamed. And so I thank and praise the Lord. A lot of times I hear it and I don't hear it, you know, and I says, Lord, I trust you. As a matter of fact, Lord, you've given us authority over the storm, and I'm commanding the storm to move out of our area. We're going to have a good weather conditions in this city. And, you know, we can speak to the winds, you know. We can speak to the winds and the contrary winds in our life. And I thank God for that because he's given us the authority to do that. And as believers, God is looking, and our pastor said it tonight, we're looking for God to do it all. And God has said, I'm looking for you to do it. I gave you my authority. I gave you my name. I gave you my spirit. Yes. And so, yeah. So I thank God that we don't have to be fearful, you know, in the storm. We just have to have the right perspective when we're in the storm, so that we can become out victorious.
Amen. You know, and it's amazing.
There is victory
because
in the storm. Yes, there is victory in the storm. And when you know what the end is, when you know that you're going to survive it,
then you go into the storm with another perspective. You can see the storms and you can see the winds raging. You can see the disappointment. You can see the things happening. But in your mind, you're saying, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. All things is working together for my good. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You know, the word began to stir up in you. And so you see the wind and you see the trouble, but it's like it's not having the effect on you because your mind has been changed. Your perspective of the storm has changed. And I just encourage anyone, you know, that's in a storm, you know, because you're either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're going into a storm, but wherever you may be, to know that the Lord is with you and that you have victory even in the storm, because the storm isn't coming to destroy you. The storm is coming to bring some growth. The storm is coming to show you who you really are. You know, if we never had storms, we wouldn't know if we really believed God or not. We really wouldn't know what our relationship was until we got in the storm. You know, this pandemic is a good example of a storm, because I was telling somebody today that the pandemic really was an indicator of where a lot of people's hearts was. And so, you know, a lot of people left the Lord. A lot of people left the church. A lot of people went back into the world. A lot of people just gave up because they didn't have the same amount of people in their congregations. I mean, from leadership to laymen to people with big names to businessmen and so on and so on. I mean, it affected the world. And so...
Amen.
You know, if your of that whole situation, if you didn't have the right perspective, it was very easy for some to slide right away from their faith. And I think it's so important, no matter what storm you find yourself in, you got to know that you know down in your knower that your relationship with God is intact. And if you are in connection with Him, that you and Him together make up the majority, that you're going to win. You're coming out of this. You know, and we have to make up in our minds that with God, all things is possible. With God, I have victory. You have victory, you know? So I think that perspective is, having the right perspective in a storm makes a really big difference, and not allowing the media. That's why when a lot was going on during that time, I didn't listen to all of the news every day. I had to shut it down. The Lord just told me, you listen to so much and then shut it down. I didn't listen to it because I needed, that wasn't my time to feed off of the fear reports. I needed to feed my spirit, the word. I needed to feed my spirit that God is in control. I needed to feed myself what was going to cause me to be strong. And a lot of times people feed off of the wrong things in the storm. You got to feed something that's going to cause you to be strong so you can go through the storm. See, as our pastor's been saying, that we got to go through it. He didn't say He was going to keep us out of the storm, but He did say that you were going to go through some things and that we could come out victorious. That's a good thing to know. That's a good thing to know.
It's an important thing to know. It's foundational because even when you're driving, you feel like you're in a little bit of a cocoon, so to speak, but there's been instances of either hydroplane or black ice and things of that nature, and it's weird because even in those situations, I thank God that He literally took the wheel, because if we hold on to the wheel too tight, then we're gonna crash, and we may not make it through that storm if we don't understand that. We surrender unto the Lord all the things. I mean, He wants to hear about everything from soup. I'm going to say milk chocolate. He wants to hear about it. He wants to know what concerns us, because as we open up to Him and let Him know, you know what, Lord, I'm letting You in my whole life. Nobody can handle my life better than You. Surely, forgive Lauren for some of the messed up stuff I've done, but I thank You, Lord, for being able to grow from those storms, both natural and spiritual, because as the Lord has been ministering to me over the years, especially about my health, I really didn't understand why I wasn't able to blame everybody else but me. And I really had a deep conversation. I said, you know, kind of weird, because there's so many different chronic sicknesses in our family. And I said to the Lord, I said, well, you know, I'm grateful I'm still here. What do I need to do to to repent? Is it something that I did, or is it something in our genealogy? And I'm just sitting there, and I'm kind of like listening, and all the Lord says, all I want you to do is know that you're healed. Remember that you're healed. Remember that you're a survivor. Forget about what everything else says, mm-hmm. what the test results say. I need you to remain a believer. I need you to understand that as you build yourself up through the word, that that's going to give you more and more information in regards to your healing, how you can keep it, mm-hmm. how you can minister to the scriptures, and we can have this communication going back and forth. And I'm not going to hold healing back. Some people feel like when you're sick and you have a chronic sickness back, and I spoke to one of my friends, she has sickle cell. And she was like, well, you know, I just gave up on that because the pain is too much. I was like, okay, that, first of all, the logic in that statement is missing. And why would you walk away from a God who wants nothing but healing, love for you, restoration, adoption for you because of a temporary mm-hmm. storm? The pain, I pray that there's no one who's in constant pain all day, every day, you know, 24/7. But it can also seem like we're in that level of pain mm-hmm. depending on our experiences. And if we don't, like you said, if we don't trust him enough to release the situation mm-hmm. to him, and don't go back 5 years ago, you go back to like peekaboo, well, let me help you, Lord. No, God doesn't need our help.
Mm-hmm.
He needs our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
He needs our faith, you know, to make sure that we're mm-hmm. in the right place. But sometimes building your faith is one thing. Keeping your faith flowing is another thing that I believe that we've had to learn. And not only learn, but keep practicing. Keep practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Reminding ourselves that there's some of the things hope for and the things that are not seen. So even if you don't see results, even if you don't feel results, you'll feel different. Just kind of, you know, hunker down and
yes.
remain faithful to God, because I'm a witness. No matter what I've gone through as far as some of the medication, having to fight with the insurance company and make sure stuff is in order, and then some of the changes I had to go through as far as, you know, making sure the house is more handicap accessible, all of those things I never thought I would have to do because I said, you know, I'm getting older, you know, it'll be fine and whatnot. Kind of negating or even addressing some of the issues. And then when I finally sat mm-hmm. down and thought about it, I'm like, who am I hurting? I'm not hurting anybody but me, because I need to be able to get around. I need to be able to do things, you know, to keep my independence. I said, and God's not the type of God who's going to say, you know what, I'm going to smite you because you're not doing right. No. Yes, there is correction and direction, but his ultimate goal for each of us is to make sure that we are healthy, we are wise, that we're strong, so we can make great decisions not only for our little world, but great decisions for the kingdom, representing him well and telling other people, let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you what he did, where he brought me from.
Mm-hmm.
And being that testimony,
yeah.
and that, as Bishop said, I think earlier today, we may be the only Bible that that person sees. And what a
mm-hmm.
better witness for us to stand there and say, you know what? He took me through this, this, and that, that. Although I didn't understand mm-hmm. it, he came back again. Rest me some more. You know, I've had to
yes.
take the time, even especially so my coworkers, you know, no, why would I quit? I needed an income. The Lord made a way. And then as far as being able to adapt, there are so many different walkers, scooters, all sorts of stuff now that you can learn how to get around. And in doing that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's an adjustment and a state of preparedness, because just like you said, you have stuff for the storm. Are you prepared? Do you read the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Are you prepared? The Bible, there are parables
mm-hmm.
and situations that may not be to the magnitude, you know, that it feels like in Lauren Land, but there are examples where the Lord came in. You look at all those plagues. He
mm-hmm.
came in and stopped it when he felt
mm-hmm.
it was time. And that's another thing,
yeah.
you know, doing top stuff for research. You know, our timing is not God's timing. But as we all know, and
mm-hmm.
I think it's been a proven point over, he's always on time. He comes.
Always.
On time. never comes empty-handed. He comes with that power to blow stuff up. Why? Because he loves us, and he wants us to be able fully fit to him, fully reconciled to him, fully in communication with him. How can we know God if we don't even talk to him?
Mm-hmm.
The word of God is, call on, I will answer thee. He didn't say call Lauren, because you know what? You might get the wrong Lauren. It might be an alter ego. He said, call on me. And I think that is so profound because we need to understand and keep the mindset that even though I may not understand the full will in this situation, we must understand that he is in control, that he has no respect of person. He can solve any storm, whether it's spiritual, natural, financial, mental, all of those things he's equipped for. Why? Because he made us, and he knows us from beginning to end. It's our story. And I thank God that in him knowing our story, that he takes the time to remind us that we're loved, and that we go. You better tell Bishop Jefferson, I keep quoting him, and that we go from victory to victory to victory. Maybe this is and it works out. Well, that's a victory. I mean, you go to the door, and you know you have bills that you have to pay, but you're a little bit short. You go to the door, and there's a check in the mail. That's a victory. And I thank God for that perspective from Bishop Jefferson, because it changed my thinking. I'm like, well, then that means I can't sit here and play, violin, woe is me, because in each situation, even in my health, if I had showed up in my health, I was like, I ain't mad at you, Lord. Doctors are thank God, because I'm his child, and I'm still here because of him. Not because of the doctors, don't get me wrong, they are intellectually smart. They're usually pretty sound, but they're not always right. And sometimes their decisions come out as their opinion, if you know what I mean. Because there are certain where color has been mistreated because you really don't know. We're all human beings. First of all, Dr. Charles Duke proved it decades ago. We all have the same blood. So why you would feel that we don't deserve certain medical treatments or we don't deserve certain cures, I don't understand that. And I think it's a I don't know if it's a generational thing, but I think it's sad because we humans desire, our heart's desire is to be whole.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I know sometimes life fracks us, but we want to be whole. God wants us to be whole so that in our state of being whole, we can make wise decisions. Because if your emotions are all across, you feel like you're cracked glass in a jar. No. And don't get me wrong, I believe God can take the shattered pieces of each and every one of our lives and put us back together and show us how to hold it together. And when we just feel everything, that he is so infinitesimal, he is so wise, he is so super, he is so omniscient that he can handle anything that we give him.
That's right. And I think in that storm, as you were talking, I was thinking about, what that storm does. It helps us also to understand what really is essential. You know, I had to come to a point, in my life, in my journey in Christ, is that you can lose a whole lot of things. And sometimes in storms, you lose some stuff, You lose some furniture. Yeah. You lose a window. You might lose your faith, a little tree. You lose some things in storms. But to understand that you can lose a lot of things, but you don't want to lose your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That must be the most precious thing that you protect and committed to holding on to. And so, when it gets rough and the storms of life are blowing, I say, Lord, I can lose a whole lot of stuff, but I am committed. I am not going to lose my connection with you. I'm not, because if you have Christ, you can rebuild again. You can rebuild your life again. You can get another house.
You can get another car, but you know, when you walk away from God and throw that away, you don't have anything. So our relationship with Christ is so vital and so important that we make sure that he's first place in our life. And when he's first place in our life and we're seriously committed to that relationship, even when the storms are blowing and the roof blows off and something else flies away and you lose a whole lot of stuff, you're still standing on the solid rock, hallelujah, and that rock is Jesus Christ, and hallelujah, and knowing that he is that foundation, you can just look and say, Lord, you can give it back to me again. You can rebuild my life again, and you begin to recognize what's really important, what is really important in my life, and you realize it all sums up that Jesus Christ is the way. He's the answer. He is the source of everything we need. So I thank God for the reality of serving a true and a living God, to know that he is the source of whatever we need. So whatever the storm may be blowing in your life, if you have Jesus in your life, hallelujah, you will survive it. Hallelujah. And he can rebuild your life. And we're built for the storm. We're built to be remade again. We're built, amen, to start over again. Amen. We're built to just keep on, what they say, the transformers, they transform out of one thing into another. Hallelujah. What the storm does, it just causes us for hey, Bo Shanday. Hey, it causes us to transform into something else. Hallelujah. Yeah. Something else greater, something else better. So I just want to tell somebody, if you're in a storm, just look out. Hallelujah. Because the transformation is going to be better than the original, because God don't make junk. And everything he does, he'll make it better and better. It gets gooder and gooder. Amen. So just be encouraged. Amen. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on. Stay connected to the true vine, and you will make it. You will survive the storm. Oh, yes.
And it's important, I believe, that in our holding on and being able to allow God first to weather the storm and carry us through. I back to that poem. I love that poem, Footprints. You may not even be able to understand that you can't walk through this storm. And even if you feel like you can, the fact that we have a God, it's so in tune with us and so in tune with bringing us to the next victory that he will literally carry us.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that footprint in the sand, you know, and like I said, I've only been saved 35, 40 years, but I still feel like I'm, you know, still have more growth to go, just a babe. But I thank God, because just seeing those one set of footprints and what the gentleman says, he goes, it was this that God carried. God carried me. He took the time to carry me through the storm. And I thank the Lord, because it's not always, how you say, it's not always the storm, but it's how you go through, how you weather the storm. Because there are so many different things that we need to, you know, you have to have an umbrella for rain. You have to have a shovel for snow. You have to, well, I don't know what you have for wind, I guess. Shelter, you stay in your house or stay in your car. And all these different tools, if you don't know to need them, or if you have them and you don't know how to use them, Jesus, you don't know how to use tools, a word, being able to take the word and put the Lord in remembrance and have a conversation, not only have a conversation with him, but build yourself up through the word. Take that word and hide it in your heart so that when Sally Sue comes and says, oh, you still ain't healed? Oh, you still need your car? Yes. You still need buy a house? You know what? Shut it down. Believe God.
Mm-hmm.
Believe God. Against all the odds. Because people don't know what it takes to get where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, God. Yeah. No matter where we are, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll always be there. Because you always have that opportunity of not only reconnecting with him, but allowing him and inviting him into our situation, saying, you know what, I throw my hands up. Why? Because you know what? I believe God. And I know if I pray to God and I'm over to him, he's going to work it out for my good. Amen?
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You know,
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, the salvation or the offer of salvation, I would greatly appreciate it. And then I'll give the benediction and we'll be done.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank and praise God for the discussion tonight. Amen. Anyone listening on the line that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, amen. The scripture tells us if we confess him, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, to confess him as Lord, amen, to accept him as your Lord and your Savior, that Jesus died on the cross, amen, for our sins, that we might be redeemed, that we may be bought back to our rightful relationship with him. Amen. And then he gave us the Holy Ghost, amen, that we would be empowered to live this life.
Yes.
I want to let you know you can't do it by yourself, but Christ came to live on the inside of you, to empower you to be who he quite created you to be. So tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight for this discussion tonight. We thank you tonight, Father God, hallelujah, that you are with us, oh God, through our journey in this life. And Lord, we recognize, oh God, that we cannot live this life without you. Father God, if there's anyone listening tonight that does not know you and the pardon of their sins, that you would deal with them, oh God, in their hearts, oh God, that we will bring, oh God, them to a place of acknowledging that they need you as Savior, as Lord in their life. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you will, hallelujah, Lord, put your word down on the inside, oh God. Hallelujah, that at the appointed time, Lord, that they will be saved, that they will be empowered with your spirit. Father, we just want to thank you tonight for each listener, each home, each family tonight. Yeah. Lord, that you will, oh God, lift up, oh God, the bowed down head and encourage those that need to be encouraged, that you, oh God, will do the work that's necessary. Anyone going through a storm tonight, that you will speak peace. We speak peace to the storm tonight. We speak healing in the storm tonight. We speak victory to the storm tonight. We tell the storm to cease, and we declare the victory of the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight. Have your way, and we'll give your name the praise, the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
And amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Henderson. Thank you for joining tonight. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. Let us continually, positively pray for each other. Love you, Henderson. Shalom, shalom.
Love you. Shalom, shalom.
Bye.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $PowerToStand or on PayPal, Pritchard719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.